Guess what? Americans are headed back to restaurants, but there's a but. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the 24th day of June. Thanks as always for being with us. In other business news, automakers are ditching the V6 engine. Why? And with what? We'll share. In case you've run out of things to worry about, we've got a Janet Yellen story for you. Meanwhile, President Biden says, hey, we have a deal. The jobless numbers are out and what they mean. Speaking of jobs, Exxon is cutting more workers and why. We've got the Wall Street Report and was Prime Day a bust? Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com. And by Oasis, a paychecks company devoted to HR solutions for business. Find them at OasisAdvantage.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yeah, we're on Twitter. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Good news, Americans are headed back to restaurants, locally owned and chains. Want proof? Bloomberg is reporting that Darden Restaurants, they're the owners of Olive Garden and other restaurant chains, boosted sales 80% last quarter. That helped the company regain all of the revenue it lost during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. Meanwhile, to put a fork in it, sorry, I couldn't resist, the company's same-store sales anchored the gains with a 90% surge in the quarter spanning March to May, compared with the same period in 2020 when Americans isolated themselves. All of this is great news for Darden and other restaurants, but there is a but. Staffing. Restaurant owners and managers are reporting that finding and retaining qualified servers, cooks, and others is more and more difficult. Some are offering large sign-on bonuses, others are upping the pay. As one former restaurant employee wrote in a recent article, the U.S. does not have a labor shortage, we have a wage shortage. Just last week, a well-known restaurateur in our area told me he was offering $55,000 for a back-of-the-house manager. Found one who lasted 2 weeks and then left after complaining he really didn't like telling people what to do. And all of this is causing some disruption in service and exasperating patrons who are grumpy over the time it takes to get a glass of water to ordering their food. Staffing is the big but. As the vehicles coming out of Detroit and elsewhere get bigger, automakers are replacing the old standby V6 engine with something a bit less exciting. USA Today is reporting that as automakers increasingly discontinue passenger cars in favor of SUVs and pickups, they're also moving away from the once standard six-cylinder engine, also known to many as the V6 because of its shape. In its place is the formerly dreaded four-cylinder engine, which is shedding its previously sluggish reputation after incorporating new technologies that improve its performance while maintaining respectable fuel economy. Yeah, a four-banger. In fact, according to J.D. Power, only one midsize car that isn't a luxury model still comes with a V6 engine, and that is the Toyota Camry. Now, if you want a V6 in a car, you're going to have to buy a premium model like a Mercedes-Benz, a large car like the Toyota Avalon, or a muscle car like the Dodge Challenger. Now, to be sure, automakers have made significant improvements to the four-cylinder engines in recent years. In many cases, they're offering turbocharged four-cylinder engines with direct fuel injection. All that enables greater power output than many V6 engines of yesterday. But that isn't making many consumers happy. The question's going to be, is it too much of a difference to make a difference? And then, well, there's that movement to electric vehicles as well. So, yeah, there's that too. The story came out too late yesterday to get into the newscast, but it's still important that you hear about it. On Wednesday, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned Congress that it had best extend a July deadline to pay back some of the federal debt. And if they don't, the U.S. is likely to default on some of its bills. Business Insider is reporting that the deadline to pay down some of the $28 trillion of debt is July 31st. Yellen is asking Congress to extend that deadline because, in her words, quote, "I think defaulting on the national debt should be regarded as unthinkable," end quote. That's what she told the Senate Appropriations Committee, calling it utterly unprecedented in American history for the U.S. government to default on its legal obligations. Now, if the federal government does default, Yellen said, it could jumpstart a chain reaction of cash shortages, starting with U.S. bondholders, which include individuals, businesses, and even foreign governments. She went on to say, quote, "I believe it would precipitate a financial crisis. It would threaten the jobs and savings of Americans and at a time we're recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic," end quote. Congress last suspended the borrowing limit in July of 2019 for 2 years under President Donald Trump. Yellen also emphasized the pandemic is causing uncertainty around the Treasury's emergency powers to step in with emergency payments if it became necessary. Some Republicans have signaled they will press for spending cuts in exchange for signing onto a debt ceiling increase, despite supporting a surge of red ink under President Trump. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, earlier today, President Joe Biden told reporters outside of the White House that there's a deal on infrastructure. "We have a deal," said the president after hosting an Oval Office meeting with a bipartisan group of U.S. senators who had put together a framework for an agreement. An agreement in principle before lawmakers depart for the July 4th break has been seen as a possibility, but the longer it sits without action, the more likely it is to change. MarketWatch is reporting the details, including how to pay for the plan, still need to be worked out. Recent talks between lawmakers had focused on how to fund the package, which had been expected to feature a $579 billion in new spending and an overall price tag of nearly $1 trillion over 5 years. Some estimates put the latest figure for new spending at $559 billion. On the news, the markets extended their gains, and I'll have those numbers for you in just a bit. The labor market continues to be, at best, bumpy. Data out today on first-time U.S. unemployment benefit applications disappointed. Initial claims fell by 7,000 to 411,000 in the week that ended on June 19. Economists had looked for a fall to 380,000. The weekly jobs report will come out tomorrow, by the way. In other U.S. economic data, May durable goods orders climbed by 2.3% in May, and according to the Commerce Department, the pace of growth in the U.S. economy for the first quarter remained unrevised at 6.4% annualized after the latest revision. In a related story, Exxon is cutting more jobs in an effort to save money. According to reporting in Bloomberg, Exxon is planning to downsize 5 to 10% of its workforce at the United States-based offices in the next 3 to 5 years. The decision to downsize its workforce was made as the company reported significant operating losses due to the global economic recession caused by the pandemic. So who's getting the axe? Now, the plan will be executed through its performance evaluation system to eliminate unproductive white-collar workers. The system will target the lowest-rated employees as compared to peers and therefore will not be classified as layoffs. The performance evaluation process will mainly affect white-collar jobs, which are involved in the fields of engineering, finance, and project management. Wall Street was on a roll today, as if it were a good news Thursday. The Dow popped by over 322 points and saw some of the biggest moves after President Biden says there was a deal made on infrastructure. The Dow closed at 34,196. The Nasdaq gained 97 points to end the trade at 14,369. The broad market S&P 500 reached yet another milestone, gaining 24 points to close at a new record of $42.66. Crude oil topped $73 a barrel, gaining 18 cents today to finish at $73.26 a barrel. Gold fell by $7 to $1,774.50 an ounce. Tesla gained 3.5%, and analysts say the price could reach $700 a share and soon. Tesla today closed at $679.82 a share. And finally, there is this. You know, it's a day that ends in Y, so hey, we got to have a story about Amazon, right? The question is, was Prime Day a bust this year? Amazon's 48-hour Prime Day shopping event ended Tuesday, and sales, estimated to have topped $11 billion, grew at a much slower pace than in years past. Adobe Analytics estimates that Amazon saw a 6.1% growth compared with last year's mid-October Prime Day event, which was by contrast a whopping 45.2% increase from the 2019 Prime Day. The e-commerce giant said third-party sellers for the second year in a row saw bigger growth than its first-party sellers. CNBC further noted that Amazon's post-Prime Day publicity was muted and lacked sales superlatives that it used to describe events in the past. And by the way, Amazon stock today fell by 1.5%. All right, that's a wrap for the business news headlines for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.